30.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show. I am your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255. That's 888-606-8255, and check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. Today I want to talk about educating your children for the long term, or the long run, however you want to say it. But I want you to really think about everything you do with your children in terms of the long-term ramifications of it. That's because the long run is going to eclipse, it's going to trump everything that happens in the short run. All the noise, all the grades, all the little bits of drama, all the minor acts of disobedience, all the frustration we experience on a daily basis, all this is going to wash away almost in the blink of an eye, and we're going to be left with the long-term results of what we did with our children and what we didn't do with them and for them. And, you know, ultimately, this is the most important thing, how our kids leave our house, the trajectory that they hit the real world with. And what can we do today? What inputs can we inject? What habits can we institute? What policies can we adopt? What tactics can we use? And what experiences can we provide our children so that they are going to hit that real world with a steep trajectory? Now, there's this great old Chinese proverb. It says, if you are planning for a year, sow rice. If you are planning for a decade, plant trees. But if you are planning for a lifetime, educate children. And it's hard to argue with that. One of the things that I do on a daily basis is engage parents, and I challenge them. I want to know what their long-term goals are for their children. Because if you don't have long-term goals, as Yogi Berra says, if you don't know where you're going, you might end up someplace else. If you don't have long-term goals, your children are going to be raised by accident. And who knows what's going to happen. The other thing I try to convince parents to do is to invest in their children early. I want them to invest in their children now when they can make a significant difference in the trajectory of their children. Unfortunately, most parents just throw money at their children or throw money at the kids' education when they're 18 years old. And yes, I'm talking about college. You know, college is incredibly, incredibly expensive. The top schools are pushing $70,000 per year now. And that's every single year. And that's per kid as well. I think I mentioned it last week or the week before. But if you have three or four kids, you're looking at $1 million in college education down the road. That's $1 million of post-tax dollars, which is really $2 million worth of income. It could represent your whole inheritance. It could represent all your savings, all your home equity, and then some. And it could put your children deep into debt. And this is why I grab parents almost by the shirt collars, I pin them against the wall, and I say, look, what are your long-term goals for your children? Let's drill this down. Let's get very specific. Because without long-term goals, we don't know what to do in the short run. Now, just to give you an example, time goes by lightning fast. And I was speaking with a gentleman last week in Orlando, Florida, and somehow I got into my education spiel, and immediately his face dropped, and he just confessed, and he said, you know, I totally lost, just to give one example, he said, I lost the video game battle in my house. And apparently he has a 15-year-old boy who, you know, is addicted to video games and Minecraft and all that other stuff, and he didn't even really need to go into details. I've heard this story so many times, but the key takeaway is this father was upset. He was regretting that he lost the video game battle. Of course, he blamed his wife for that, which, you know, it always takes two. You know, one parent can certainly win a battle as well as lose a battle. But the point is he had regrets, and this came out of nowhere. This video game addiction, you know, wasn't something that was on his radar. It was something that he clearly underestimated, and he was having regrets in the present tense. I'm not talking about regretting, you know, when his kid is 40 years old and his kid maybe is suffering from, you know, a failure to launch. Maybe he still hasn't got his act together at 40 and the father's regretting the video games. He's regretting it already. That's how bad these things are. And this is how important it is what we do with our kids on an everyday basis. And, you know, I want to give one more example of a long-term thinking about educating your children as a long-term investment. You know, I always worked from home. So when my son was born, I could clearly just, or very easily, just stay home while he napped three times a day, and I could work at my PC, and that wasn't a big issue at all. I could certainly have been working for a big trading firm, trading stocks and commodities and options. That's what I did for many, many years. I could certainly have worked at a big bank or a hedge fund or been outside of the house, and I could have put my son in daycare, and I could have had a lot more, let's just say, guaranteed income. But that wasn't, you know, important to me. What was important to me was that my son was not in daycare and that I would do whatever it is, even if it meant giving up some income in the short term so that my child could be, you know, spending a lot of time with a parent and not being raised in a group environment, not in a germ-infested daycare center, and not by total strangers. You'll have to go back on my website and listen to that show that I did several months ago titled Skip Daycare. I am not a fan of daycare. And I had this instinct when I was, you know, a new parent, and it was just simply to, you know, keep my kid out of daycare. I had an instinct that it was bad. I didn't know how bad it was, but I trusted my instinct, and I gave up short-term income to keep him out. And even down the line, as we had another child, my wife has turned down work opportunities that would have had her traveling more, that certainly would have given her more money. She's turned down work opportunities because maybe they wouldn't let her telecommute anymore. My wife works from home a large amount of the time, and this gives her, you know, the ability to spend time with the kids that she wouldn't have otherwise. And this is what's important to us. My wife and I are very focused on our children because we know how important it is. We know that the long run is best served by attention in the short run and by being present. What happens when parents put their kids in daycare or put their kids in front of the television or outsource something that they should be doing themselves is they lapse into delusion. Nobody wants to think that daycare is bad for their kids. No parent, no loving parent wants to think that allowing their kid to play video games is going to basically retard their learning and diminish their prospects in the future. Nobody wants to think that. And I don't, you know, it's human nature to not, you know, to spin. My wife's favorite word is to spin. Everything gets spun. You know, daycare is good for kids socially. It's good for kids to relax with video games after school. I don't want my child to be left out of his circle of friends when the rest of them are playing video games. All this amounts to is a grand delusion. It's justification. And it is suffering through, or let's just say, giving in to short-term, let's say, it's giving in to short-term pressure at the expense of long-term results. It's giving in to short-term, it's being unwilling to endure a little bit of what could be called short-term pain And in the process, we're giving up the opportunity for a much brighter future for our kids. Now, I feel for these parents. I don't like to brag about the results that my kids and I are getting. I want to share them. I want other people to do the same because I know that if people will just allow me to pin them down, and if they will just confess that their actions are not in line with their long-term goals, I know good things will happen. I know that they will start to change. I know they will start to step outside of what everybody else is doing. All right, you're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I am your host, Dan Lozonis, and I am talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255, and check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. Today I'm talking about educating our kids for the long run, and this is really the only run that we're educating them for. I have parents all the time complain to me about their kids being passed over for an award in sixth grade, or they're concerned about their kid's grade in seventh or eighth grade on a single math test, and you know, I always have to try to tell them to calm down, and it's no easy feat. This stuff, middle school grades do not mean a hill of beans. And then the parents will come at me with, well, if they don't get an A in this class, they won't get put in the gifted and talented program. They won't get it to this honors math next year. And apparently the whole world will end. Of course, none of that is true. Nobody cares about Steve Jobs' handwriting or his grades in seventh and eighth grade. Nobody cares about your handwriting or my handwriting or our grades. It just doesn't mean anything. But that's what happens when we focus too hard on the short term, and we take our eyes off the ball, and we take our eyes off what matters in the long run. I heard somebody say, and I think this is one of these mind over matter life coaches, he said, look, whenever you get upset at something, whether it's an incident with your spouse, your sister, or neighbor, or coworker, or somebody who cuts you off on the highway, take a deep breath and ask yourself, will this matter in 3 years? 3 years is the metric they use, or the threshold they use. And of course, nothing, almost nothing that happens today is going to matter in 3 years. And that's why, you know, we should just let things like, you know, a nasty teacher or a bad test grade just, you know, we should just let it fall right off us. It doesn't matter. But what does matter are the long-term ingredients in our kids' lives. It's like how much time are our kids spending, you know, thinking? How much time they're spending doing rewarding activities? You know, how much time are they spending in, you know, around high quality, uplifting individuals? How much time are they spending alone with their thoughts? And of course, on the flip side is that how much time are they spending, you know, rotting their brain and doing all the negative things that we know we have to really cut out. Now, I say we know we have to cut out. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, everybody knew smoking was bad. Nobody was really in, deluding themselves about that. They were deluding themselves about precisely how bad it was. You know, and just because everyone was smoking, we thought we're all going to die together and, you know, so be it. It only took a few decades for that to look like a really stupid concession to conformity. And the same thing is going on right now with the electronics. You know, everybody is giving their kid a phone when they're stranded at a restaurant or when they're on a long car trip and nobody is thinking about, let's call it the compound effect of, that simple action, giving a child a phone instead of making them read, instead of having them daydream or having them, talk. Imagine that, talking while you wait for your dinner at a restaurant. Now, I think it was Albert Einstein who said that compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. And it really is, in that it's not just a financial concept. It is a concept that applies to you and I on an every day basis. I mean, just imagine if you got up every morning with your kids and you went for a walk every single morning for 15, 20 minutes. Just that simple act. What would the cumulative effect of it be over time? I mean, it would improve your bodies. It would improve your relationship with your children. It would improve their bodies. It might be all by itself a foundation for a much stronger parent-child bond over time. I mean, the compound effect of what we do, and I say what we do, let me take a step back. Something like 85% of our days are not scripted. Yes, scripted is the word they use. 85% of our days are things that we do every single day. So if, we're on autopilot most of the time. So if we get up every day and take our kids for a walk, if we institute that habit, we're probably going to do it all the time. If we always get a Coke with a cheeseburger, we're always going to get a Coke with a cheeseburger. That's going to add up over time. Now, just imagine, these are a couple of the things that I do, and I like to think of from a compounding point of view. Every time I go to a restaurant, I get water. I never get soda, never get iced tea. I almost never get a beer either. But just imagine the effect on your health if you just instituted that one policy. The same thing goes, for our kids. We are, are they going to get up every morning and they going to watch TV? I mean, I watch Saturday morning cartoons for every Saturday of my life. What if I got up every morning and played the piano, played the guitar? What if I did chess? These are the things that my kids do on a Saturday morning, because the television is just not an option. I have decided that the television does not have any role at all in the long-term goals I have for my children. Now, my kids are still young, but I have already many, many regrets about things that I didn't do with them, practices, ingrained habits that I'm trying to shake. And this is an ongoing process. Nobody is perfect, not me, not anybody else. But if you accept how things are, you'll never get close to perfect. Now, I heard a great quote the other day. This person made a whole bunch of money, and it kind of came out of nowhere. She was an author, and she wrote one book that really exploded. And everybody was saying, how does it feel to be an overnight success? And she banged her fist down. She banged her fist down and said, gosh darn it, it took me 10 years to become an overnight success. And, it was kind of funny when she said that, and you can understand why she was angry. But people say to me all the time, of course you can do X, Y, and Z. Your kids are A, B, and C. Well, they didn't get to A, B, and C overnight. They got there because I've been thinking about their long-term welfare. I've been trying to get this place where I can do certain things with them for a long time. And, the next thing. Oh, we're running out of time here. Listen, I'll be back in a minute talking more about the long-term effects. You're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'll be back. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I am your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 888-606-8255, and connect with you on my line through my website at homeschooldad.com. Today's show is all about the long-term focus for our children. What are we going to do in the short run to ensure that they turn out the way we want them to turn out? Because the 20 years we have them, or the 18 years, goes by in a blink of an eye. And even, I would even say that once it gets to age 10 and 12, there are a lot of things that become ingrained in a household and in a family dynamic that absolutely cannot change. All right, we have a caller on the line. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show, and how can I help you today?
Hey, Dan. Really interesting topic. I've been on your website before, and I just wanted to follow up with a few thoughts and questions. I don't homeschool now, but it was something I've been considering now for probably the last 6 to 12 months, and this was really cool to see some of how your own kids have grown. And I know you've been doing this for some years now with some of your own kids, but it sounds like maybe even, kind of just reaching other families with this. So, one of the things, like, I'm wondering is, as my wife and I start to consider this, we have 5 young kids. We have 1 in middle school and 2 in 5th grade, so we're kind of entering these middle school years. And we're just, they're a little bit more independent thinkers now and can do things on their own. So we're just trying to get a sense of, how do we transition from them having, a fixed schedule. They have a fixed schedule during the week at school, and then they come home and they have fixed things they need to do. How do you go about, occupying their time? Like, what sort of activities, and do you follow any specific curriculums?
Sure. What's going to happen when they go from a fixed schedule to basically daylight on the calendar and, I have people, clients and friends who have pulled their kids out of school, and they've just created it, that schedule at home. They have an Excel spreadsheet or a Google Docs spreadsheet, and they say, you're going to do math every day from 8 to 9. From 9 to 10, you're going to read. From 10 to 11, you're going to do chess, or you're going to do history. You're going to use your geography text. So you can actually... In fact, one of the things that I think is the only thing that I like about school is the imposed discipline that it has. And I operate with a schedule here in my own house. My kids right now are doing work in the background somewhere, and it's not really that hard to do, because you'll sit down with a spreadsheet and you'll say, you're doing math, you're doing this, you're doing that, and it will just fall into place. But there is a whole day. So there's 14 hours in the day. And if you schedule them for 5-6 hours, you still have about 8 hours that I'm sure that you're concerned about. What will the kids do? Well, let me ask you a question, Tim. What are your long-term goals for your kids? What type of children do you want to have leave your house in 10 years or 8 years, however long it's going to take?
Yeah, so for me personally, this is something I've been considering now for probably the last year in a real intense way. I've gone from growing kids to now what are becoming quickly young adults. And so I own my own business, and one of the things I never considered doing when I was younger and even into my 20s was owning my own business. And that's come with, like, amazing freedom and everything that I've learned. I don't credit in any way to school. I kind of credit to, kind of knuckling down and learning things on my own. And so one of my goals is just to have kids that are independent thinkers and not being trained to be employed by someone else. I'd like for them to potentially consider having their own business. And I think in some ways it's just one of the things that my wife and I have been thinking through, what kind of kids are we trying to raise? And rather than gearing them up for high school and then gearing them up for college, is like, what can we be gearing them up so they can, kind of have their own lay out their own footwork for their own lives.
Well, I think you're answering part of not your own question, but the topic we're talking about here. What will they do in that time? Well, I think if your ultimate goal is to have them get an early start on business, and Tim, well, you tell me, how different would your business career be if you started learning about entrepreneurship and solving problems for customers, creating products, and helping people when you were a teenager? How different would you think your personal trajectory would be if you'd started earlier?
Yeah, for me personally, I looking back, and so these are some of the concerns. Looking back, I don't see how not only did my college experience not prepare me at all for the job I took after college, it certainly in no way prepared me for having these ideas about having your own business, something and I had never even considered. I think most people I grew up with never considered owning their own business. Maybe someone fell into one way or the other, but had that been the goal, I think, I probably would have looked at things from a different perspective all along.
Well, I know you would have. I mean, I know I would have. And I know so many kids in their early mid 20s who have made a lot of money, and really the only thing that they did differently than anyone else is they started earlier. So let's go back to your schedule. So how about this for a breakdown? How about if you homeschool your kids, you stick with more academic stuff the first part of the day, and in the afternoon they're going to have, obviously they're going to have their organized or their extracurricular activities, the dance, the scouts, the soccer. I don't know what you have. I'm just throwing these out there for my audience. The extracurricular activities, and you sprinkle in the forward-looking things, like, for example, working on a business. I mean, I was in Florida several years ago, and I found a babysitter, and the babysitter was a homeschooled 16-year-old girl, and she had a brand new car. And it turns out she was able to babysit almost full time when she was a young teen, to the point where she could, afford her own car at age 16. And how cool is that? I mean, this is the opportunity that your kids are going to have. It might be babysitting, it might be well, I'm not going to say shoveling snow. That's not a full-time job, especially not if you're down south. But whatever it could be computer programming, it could be graphic design. But definitely, I mean, these kids can be mother's helpers, and they can help out and do odd jobs from a very young age. Warren Buffett was in business when he was 6 years old. Michael Dell was ripping apart computers when he was, I believe, 13, 14 years old. And, well, let me just talk about Michael Dell for a second, because this is one thing your kids are going to have. And I don't think you should worry too much about them having free time. I think you should be glad that you're facilitating them having free time, because this is where they're going to develop their hobbies, their productive hobbies. And within those hobbies, they're going to find their passions. And it might be business, it might be just playing the piano, it might be some form of art, it might be working in the music business or online. I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but my son just launched a podcast. And who knows what that will lead to? I mean, this is out there on the frontier. And again, these are all possibilities you're going to have for your kids. Hey, listen, Tim, continue to check out my website and definitely contact me if you have any more questions. But you're going to fill up that schedule real fast, and you're going to shift from not knowing what to do and how to schedule it to the point where most people are, most veteran homeschoolers are, should you go down this route. And that point is, we have so many things we want to do. We want the kids to learn Spanish. We want them to learn Latin. We want them to learn digital photography and chess and drama and public speaking. And maybe they'll do archery and fencing and, of course, play sports and travel. You'll have so many things you want to do that you'll say, wait a minute, I'm going to have to be real strategic about fitting it all in. Hey, Tim, good luck to you and thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions to be answered. When I meet with parents who are thinking about homeschooling, it is not a sure conversation. It's what's our day going to look like? How much extra work is this going to take? How is my kid going to learn anatomy? How might this one child of mine get into college? What about sports? What about socialization? All these questions come up. This is what I deal with on a daily basis. I love the questions. I love solving the problem because this is what it is. It's a problem in the most generic sense. And but for every problem out there has a solution. All right, you're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I am your host, Dan Lozonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls at 866-606-8255, and connect with me online through my website at homeschooldad.com. Today, I'm trying to focus on thinking about your child from a long-term perspective. But the ironic thing about a long-term perspective is that it informs what you should do right at this very moment. You know, if we have these long-term goals, these overriding, superseding goals and objectives, it's very easy to look at what we're doing in this moment, today, this week, this month, this year, and ask the question, does this fit in line with what I want my kids to turn out to be? And of course, you know, you need to know about the lethal things. You need to know the ingredients for the recipe. You need to know what is actually going to unlock your kids' full potential. And this is where a lot of people just fall by the wayside. I was looking at online today, a friend of mine was talking about buying his kids or his nephews and nieces Kindles or iPads. And this guy is actually an absolutely brilliant guy. And I mean brilliant. I believe he's was on the national math team in America at some point. But he's being that uncle that is, you know, that uncle, the one who is introducing his nieces and nephews, or at least if not introducing, he's enabling them to sit on a tablet or a device all day long. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's a Kindle. It's still an internet connection. It's still got those blue lights that will keep the child, you know, I wouldn't say up at night. Let's pause here for a second and talk about the blue lights, because this is something that I've just learned about. Apparently, when we go to sleep at night, our biorhythms, our body feeds off the darkness outside, and the darkness outside releases some hormone, I think it's melatonin, in our brain, which helps us wind down and go to sleep. Now, if we're looking at screens all day, screens give off what they call blue lights, which I guess are not organic lights, and what they do to our brain is they mess with you know, this melatonin, this hormone that's supposed to be secreted every night to wind us down. And if we watch TV, if we look at a computer, if we look at our phone, if we look at a Kindle, our body, you know, gets hyper aroused, I think is the word they use, or overstimulated. And even if we do get to sleep, we don't get into a deep sleep. And so these devices are a lot more dangerous. And I talk about devices a lot in this show, but I just needed to mention this today just because I just really learned about it. These devices are a lot more dangerous for our kids than we might thought. So yeah, even smart people underestimate the risks. Who knew what a smartphone was 15 years ago? I mean, these things are totally new, and they come at us, and they're pervasive, and they're addictive. Again, so the parent are armed with long-term objectives. Maybe they get taken in. Maybe maybe they buy their kids some devices, let them play some video games. But if they have long-term goals, it will heighten their perception, heighten their awareness of what their kid's doing on a daily basis. And maybe after that kid wastes a year or several months playing with the video games, maybe mom and dad says, "Hey, you know what? There's something wrong here. This smells. This is not getting my child towards their long-term goals. This device is keeping them inside. It's crowding out, their other hobbies. They used to read. They used to play the piano. My son used to go outside and build tree houses and forts. Now they're not doing it anymore." So armed with a long-term objective, armed with, farsightedness. I think I use this word a lot in my material. Armed with some farsightedness, you're better able to thwart these distractions and these, exogenous threats to your child. It all boils down to your child reaching their full potential. You don't want to think that they've squandered too many years watching TV. You don't want to think that you've, as a parent, squandered, the opportunities to spend time with your kid. All comes back to these long-term goals and what they mean for our everyday living. You don't want to wake up like I did, when I was 30 and say, "Hey, you know what? I wish I paid attention more to these, two or three entrepreneurs that I came across." You don't want to wake up when you're 40 and say, "You know what? I wish I didn't let my kid have those devices. I wish I never sent my kid to school." Now, this is something actually that I am seeing a lot of. People telling me, "I wish I had met you 10 years ago when my kids were young." And I take that as a compliment, but I also, that makes me very, very sad to hear when people say, "I wish I had done something only a few years ago." Because the reality is, when your kids are 10, 11, 12 years old, it gets very, very hard to pull them out of school. It still should be done, but it gets increasingly harder. The runway that a parent has is much, much longer. Just to give you an example, I'm working with a couple kids this week, some of the students that I have, private clients, and one is 12 years old, and I have a lot of work to do with him. I have him pushing hard through eighth grade math, so he's 2 years advanced on math, but his 8-year-old brother is right on his heels. His 8-year-old brother is only, 2 years behind him. So just to give you the picture that, his brother's 4 years younger, but only a couple years behind in math. And this is how important these early years are. And if you have this long-term focus, if you have these goals, you're going to be determined to act early. And when you're going to give your kids, if you can do all the things that no one else wants to do, if you can keep them away from the devices, if you can get them to read, if you can keep them out from being overscheduled, they're going to have this strong foundation that you can leverage for the rest of their lives. All right, you've been listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back next week.
We don't need no thought control.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.